Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So many things are taking place right now. We do want to go right into, you know, talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, because we not only want to share with you the news, which you're probably hearing already, we want you to be able to know what to do with the news you know. And God's perspective, you know, what is, begin to search out what God's perspective is for that. And you can see this, you know, on the VFN Torch, which you can get to at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. But yesterday morning, in Washington, D.C., that the Family Research Council, this man comes in there and he's upset about their stand, about their values, what they stand for, which is God's perspective of family. And, you know, this, we got this, this is strong, well, you know, it's real simple. People try to have a logical explanation for things. The truth is, if you get your way, then it'll be shown that what I'm doing is wrong. It boils down to that. Because if the two can coexist and you can speak what, how you feel, and I can speak how I feel, then what, why would there be any?
What's the problem?
What's the problem? And the problem is the fact that the very presence of light shines on me, and it causes me to be aware of, it causes me to be aware of my life. But see, that's all of us. That's how we found Jesus, and that's why we live in the light, because he that lives in the light and walks in the light, you know, he's saying, I want to leave all that. And there is no different categories of sin. We have to understand this. And this is where the church is going to get in problem. Because, you know, the church is pointing out different types of sins as being bad sins. But it's like, the question is, which sin sends you to hell?
That's right.
You know, and Jesus said, well, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. And we're going to talk about in the future really soon, because we've got to get this out to our listeners. And it needs to be on the Torch. It needs to be on the VFNTV app. You know, the statistics are very high that the abortion rate is our people who call themselves Christians are the ones that are having them.
Right.
And also the ones who are looking at internet pornography and all those things are Christians.
That's right.
You know, a lot of those are people who profess to be Christians. And I want to encourage you now that it's all a trap. Realize that there's grace for you and God can pull you out, but we cannot be all involved in that and pointing our finger at something else and don't realize that all this is demonic and it'll come down on you. And what we want to do is believe that God can, if we repent, you know, and we go, okay, you know, I'm into that, or I did that. We got a teaching or an article or something coming up on probably VFN TV, or it could be on VFN radio. You know, we all have searched and fallen short of the glory because, you know, some of the biggest search terms, you know, just nail it. They talk about, you know, I have this book sitting here right beside me called Click. And it says that when a particular church organization comes into town, into hotels, they have this huge, it's not a church, but it's like a whole organization of churches, you know, comes in town, that hotels, they have movies you can purchase or something on the TV and all that kind of stuff.
Right, like pay-per-view.
Yes. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Did we just learn something new? we've all have sinned and no, the
paid for view.
No, but the thing is this is that, and so they said that this huge purchase of pornography comes up when the church comes to them. I just want to say this first, that if you read the word of God, this is not strange for God's people, but what's horrific for God's people is when they realize that God's saying, deal with this, and we don't. And we don't, and we repent. We got to repent.
Right.
I mean, if I could just talk to you, who sat around the King David's dinner table? Right. I mean, if you talk about the family member, you know, Mephibosheth, and you talk about the murderer and all the things, you know, the adulterer and all those kinds of, that's
sure.
Understand. This is all of us, but we can't stay in sin. We got to deal with our sin.
Sure.
And every one of us, not any one particular sin or another, because which sin sends you to hell? You know, so. You know, I say it quite often, but a lot of people who are, you know, doing one thing and criticizing another, they're going to be really surprised, because when they get to the same location, they're going to look at them and say, what the hell are you doing here? That's what E.V. Hill said, right? E.V. Hill quote. And so the truth is that every one of us, I don't care who you are, how much money you have, how big you think you are, and how small you think you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what religion expression that you are, Christian expression that you're in. You answer alone before God, but God's grace is sufficient for you. We're not going to win this by us trying to push laws on America. We're going to win this by us throwing our knees to the ground and repenting of the laws that we broke of His personally. Mm-hmm. And then the world will line up to, they'll get blessed, because if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal America. I'll heal their land.
Right.
And, you know, think about John Paul Jackson, you know, he said, how long will this last? How much intensity will there be? And it's like, until we do that.
Mm.
And it's like, we're going to repent.
Yeah, one way or another.
We're going to repent. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, it's like a little, you know, somebody going, well, I'm not going to. It's like, okay, well, then you just escalate things.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, minimum force necessary is what and that's how you had to describe it in law enforcement, that if you told somebody, you know, drop the gun, and they say, no. Well, the first thing you do is you do a voice command, drop the gun. Unless it's pointing at you.
Yeah.
And then you drop them.
And there's no talking.
And then you just drop them.
Yeah.
No. And there's no. Actually, more officers have sat there, and it's amazing, our officers, because every day their life's at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we definitely, and if you don't appreciate your law enforcement now, let me tell you something. In the next 6 months to 18 months, you're going to be so grateful for these men and women. If they hang in there and don't quit.
That's right.
If they hang in there and don't quit, because some tough times are coming. And so anyway, you say, drop the gun. And some, believe it or not, some criminals just go, no. You
Do
know?
They really?
Right, yeah. And so then, you know, let's back up. Let's not use a gun, because, you know, that's not going to be a long conversation.
No, that's going to be short.
He's got a knife. He's got a knife. And he dropped the knife, and he says, no. And so then he gets louder. Drop the gun now.
Knife.
Or else I'm going to...
Knife.
Thank you. Really crickets.
You're on vacation, man. Come
I know. I'm telling you. You know, I'm saying. And so drop the knife. And so that doesn't happen. So then he says, you know, I'm going to bring out my baton and do some, you know, it's a twirling.
On your head?
Yeah. It's like, a nightstick or whatever you want to call it. And you know, I'm going to apply some pressure to you. And... he still doesn't. And then he says, well, you know, of course, you're not going to do it with a knife. You're probably going to just use a stun gun or a taser. Mm-hmm. And he says, drop it or I'm going to tase you.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it, and he gets tased. And he just progressively increases all the way up to where if the man gets shot or the woman gets shot, it's because they refuse to listen to the officer.
Mm. Yeah.
But he has to articulate in his police report before the jury of our peers.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can hear that, and before our judge that we voted in office and all the media cameras that are watching, how I got to this point of force.
Sure.
And if they say that's a reasonable progression of force, and it's all based on the size of the officer and their abilities and all that. For example, you got a 100-pound lady officer, she could use higher force quicker. But if you had somebody like, I'm not going to name any names, like 230-pound, 6'4", you know, he just goes boo when people, you know, listen. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they would actually expect him to have more, you know, patience with that and progress. Which, you know, that's, anyway, but you got to be able to articulate. That's what's happening right now in America. What's happening in America right now, church, is minimum force necessary. And God is saying, drop the knife.
Mm-hmm.
God's saying, just repent. He's saying, go back to my laws. Go back. Listen, I got mercy for you. I got grace for you. If you just acknowledge it and fall to your knees, humble yourselves and pray and turn from your, I'm telling you, I'll forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God is so good. Sometimes he just reboots even when men don't even ask for it. He just resets. You know, he's just good. Listen, he's good. Don't let the enemy tell you he's just awesomely good.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't let religious people convince you that you are in a category of sin that God can't forgive, because it's all the same. Every bit of us the same, you know, and there's only one hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they always say, you know, if you're getting ready to have an operation, do you want the doctor to use the knife with a little dirt or a lot of dirt?
Right.
It's like, no dirt, you know, it's all sin. It's all, you know, don't get into hunting and pecking and trying to judge someone by what you think is going to be worse.
Well, you're going to lose. You're going to lose.
Hello?
You're going to lose because, you know, all have sinned and all have fallen short. And that right now what people need to hear is our knees rubbing on the dirt. I mean, they don't need to hear us. And that's going to be the first thing. You know, as a matter of fact, listen right now. CBN is talking about this. You can see this on the VFN Torch, where the shooter goes into the Family Research Council yesterday, around 2 or so, I believe, and comes in there with a Chick-fil-A bag and come in there with an intent with a bomb, I believe. But listen up.
Wow.
I'm Charlene Israel. A security guard at the Christian lobbying group, the Family Research Council, is recovering this today after being shot in the arm. The suspected shooter was wrestled to the ground and taken into FBI custody. Paul Strand has the latest from the FRC's Washington, D.C. office.
The suspect, 28-year-old Floyd Corkins, is a volunteer worker at a Washington community center for the homosexual and transgender population of D.C. A neighbor said of Corkins' alleged attack,
"Well, I'm very shocked. It's very surprising."
The suspect reportedly made a negative reference about FRC's policies before opening fire.
FRC is known here in D.C. as one of the more conservative Christian lobbying organizations, especially well known for its stance for traditional marriage and against abortion.
The suspect was reportedly carrying a Chick-fil-A bag. Chick-fil-A's president has been under fire for opposing gay marriage and funding groups like FRC. If this was a political attack, some conservatives are saying liberal and pro-gay organizations that keep labeling FRC a hate group for opposing gay marriage are partially to blame for the dangerous atmosphere.
It's looking about this. This guy just barges into Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., with the intentions, and he's responding to, you know, what happened with, you know, Chick-fil-A stood up as a business owner, as a citizen, and just said, this is how we feel about marriage. And they were very kind in how they didn't say, this is what we're telling you to do. But this is how we feel, which is called First Amendment, right? It wasn't about chicken, and it really wasn't about marriage as much as it was about the First Amendment. And part of that First Amendment, you know, this particular guy, he could have said, and obviously he's part of the organization, that he could just express how he feels. I mean, he can express in America, you can express how you feel.
Sure.
And, but it just seems to work out that way, that when, no matter how you present it, and it's so important to speak to the truth in love,
right?
You know, it's not to just yell the truth, not to stand on a street corner and shake your Bible at somebody and scream at them. You know, because he says, you know, Jesus didn't even bend a reed, you know. I mean, he was very humble and very gentle, but he was very bold and he's very direct. So it wasn't, he's not a wimp.
Right.
He's bold. But the fact is there's a way to let people know, listen, you know, I know where you're at. I can empathize with you. And all of us have fallen short. And I understand, you know, you're saying that you have, you know, this is how you feel. But in America, we could say you have the right to be able to say that in America.
Right.
You have a right to be able to say that. In the same manner, you know, the Family Research Council has the right to be able to say, I don't know how they're presenting it. I can't tell you. I haven't done the research on the Family Research Council. But I have listened to some, you know, Christians, you know, that have, you know, on the air and saying things. And it seems hateful. It's hate speech. You know, I mean, it's hateful instead of love filled. You know, repent, God. And the thing is, this is how I believe the message should be delivered to all of us. Is, you know, God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you. You need to just stop all the things and just fall to the cross as you are, just as I am, without one plea. Come to God and just realize that. With all your luggage and everything, that's, you know, that's how I came. That's how people I know that I came. I mean, Pat still got luggage. I mean, it really does. And, you know, I like what T.D. Jakes said. You know, he said, you know, he says, forget about, he said, I did some things before I got saved. I did some things after I got saved. Forget about Satan. God saved me from me.
Yeah.
Because it's a constant dependency factor that we have on God, and his grace is sufficient. And he says, if anybody says they're without sin, they're a liar. But God's not a God. But he says, but if you'll confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, which is all sin, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then he says again, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. And so how we present that is so important. We can't stand up and point at somebody who is guilty of the same thing that we're guilty. Because we have to be able to say, listen, I can empathize where you're at. I understand this, but let me tell you how much God loves you. But the outcome of this, if you don't turn his way, is not good. It wasn't good for me if I didn't turn. It's not good for you if you don't turn. But understand, it's a choice that you're making. What you're experiencing it right now is minimum force necessary by a loving father who's as allowing pressure to come upon society, not so the world can change, not so we can change our constitution. It's so that we can go back to God's constitution, the word of God, and proclaim it, you know, from the hilltops boldly and say, Jesus is Lord, you know, and begin to preach the love of God. I heard you guys, you know, talking about Reginald Tent and the Pilgrims, you know, and that's available on the app and also on the Torch, BFN Torch. But they were so kind and loving to the First Nation people. And that's how we're supposed to be. And Jesus, this is what Jesus says. If somebody hits you on one cheek, turn the other one. Don't go hire an attorney. You know, don't try to get revenge because he says, vengeance is mine. Listen, it didn't look like it turned out well for Jesus because he was lied on. He was thrown out of town. They tried to stone him. They beat him. They stuck crown of thorns in his head. They nail him to a cross in front of everybody and try to shame him. But that was it was God working things out, you know, and he didn't even offer up a defense.
Right.
And this defensiveness, church, we got to stop it. We got to stop being so. Who are we? We have to let people know we are them outside of him. We have to.
That's right. It reminds me of your message on who you're calling good. It's like we can't lift ourselves up. If there's any goodness in us, it's only because of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, and at what point can we begin to start pointing fingers? We all have to, like you said, we all have to hit our knees. We all have to repent and say, you know, for the grace of God go I. Because someone fell into one thing and you fell into something else. Doesn't mean one is better or less. In God's eyes, it's all not right if you're in sin. It's all, you all need to repent.
Right. And so, you know, so it's not that we don't preach righteousness, but in the standard, you know, when you marched in ranks, like we marched in ranks in the military, and you hold a flag up in the very front of that, those ranks, your troops, or, you know, when you looked at the days of the regiments, and they had a flag for each regiment. You know, and each division had his own flag, and would they put the flag in front, and then we would look to the flag, and that's how it kept us in alignment. So we have like three or four ranks wide, and we'd march side by side, we'd march in unison, and that flag is called the standard.
Right.
And the American flag is called the standard. But in the church, we're not lifting men up or organizations up or traditions up or philosophies up. And no man should be lifting himself up saying he's the standard. What we're lifting up in front of us so we can stay in alignment with the creator of the universe is Jesus. Jesus is our standard. And he said, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, if I'm going to be lifted up, if you lift me up as the standard. And so this is where the enemy will come in and confuse things and try to take someone down, is that he'll tell you that they're lifting themselves up as a standard.
Right.
But the way you resolve that is you do like Paul did. You talk and boast about your weaknesses. You know, and if you have problems finding out your weaknesses, ask the people around you. As a matter of fact, just give them all a blank application, give them free. Matter of fact, just do a blog online so everybody can just publicly just put it out there, you know.
A survey, a poll.
Yeah, run an ad in the local newspaper. And just let them know that the only good is God, the standard in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory, not you in you. And when you get past good, it's a refreshing place to be. Because when somebody accuses you of not being good, you're like, have you read the press? I mean, come on. Yeah.
Catch a clue.
But the good that is in me is God, and he loves you like he loves me, and he's got a plan for your life. And so the standard at VFN Radio and VFN TV and the church we should be lifting up is Jesus, not ourselves, not our personal preferences, you know. And I've seen a lot of, you know, 50% of the marriages in the church that profess to be Christians in the church are ending in divorce. So obviously finding somebody of the opposite gender is no great reward.
Right.
I mean, you're not all of a sudden righteous because, you know, you found somebody, you know, that was the opposite gender. And right now the question is, what's at stake right now is marriage. But is what marriage that we're presently presenting in America as a church marriage, is that the measurement?
Yeah.
And if it is,
we're in trouble.
Yeah. But if we can say, okay, let's forget about all these. I'm so tired of all these marriage seminars that are opposite of the standard of Jesus. They're opposite of the word of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And been teaching all these traditions and stuff to be able to undo the things of God. And then that means you're lifting men up and organizations and concepts up and philosophies up and traditions up over God's word. Mm-hmm. And now Jesus is not the standard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
And so if we'll begin to lift Jesus up as the standard over marriage, you know, and how it should be, and it's not vague. Marriage is not vague in the Word of God.
That's right.
It's not a mystery.
Yeah, and so we can't sit here and have, you know, be, you know, in rebellion to God in our own marriages, you know, mm-hmm. and then point at the world and tell them how they should be married.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't do it. We're not going to win. First of all, we're not going to win it because this is not trying to convince man of something.
Mm-hmm.
It's God dealing with us who left him in his ways. You know, he says, your lips, you flatter me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is going to be the secret. And I'm on this journey with you. So we're just trying to get to where John's at, you know what I'm saying?
You're
right.
I'm on the journey,
but I'll tell you the secret. The secret is this. Yeah, you're right. Teresa just texted me. I'm joking. And that...
she's on the journey, too.
Oh, really?
Journey just got extended.
It's getting longer by the moment.
But the secret's going to be this, that if we lift Jesus up as the standard of our marriage, we got a lot of repenting to do. Because the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church. If your children have been watching you live in rebellion to God in your marriage while you're ruling over your husband or while you, sir, being seduced by the things of the world and you're not leading in your home. I'm talking about not women, we're talking about marriage order and men. That then your kids are looking at you going, are you really going to tell the world how to be married? Are you going to criticize two of my friends at school for their choices? Because I live with you.
Mm-hmm.
I watched you guys walk in rebellion to God's way. I watched you when you know, dad would say something and he would leave and you would undo everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
I watched all that. So the answer is, if my people, not the people who don't even know God, not the people who haven't even made a choice for him.
Mm-hmm.
This is to the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. What does that mean? Humility means total dependency on God. It means Jesus is a standard. It means you're going to look at the word of God and say, what is marriage supposed to be like? Oh, my God. Oh, we are out of order. Out of order. You know, out of order. You're just out of order, right? And so then you say, I'm going to put some things back in order again. That's called justice, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, the word of God says, no one cries for justice.
Mm-hmm.
You go to BFN TV and get that. No one cries for justice because we got to begin to cry for it. But the only place that we can first cry for it is at the cross of Christ. You know, Jesus took our justice on. And so the forgiveness and the mercy of Jesus will allow you to be able to reboot and be new again and old things forgotten. And then you can begin to walk. But listen, we can't tell the world how to be married. Mm. We can't tell the world how to be married when we ourselves aren't married right. Just because you found somebody of the opposite gender does not mean you succeeded. Ask them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Ask them. You know, did you love? Did you seek to walk in obedience to God? Not were you perfect. Not did you not make mistakes. But did your kids, did your spouse see you say, I know that the world contradicts this. I know that all of our friends are walking opposite of this. I know that people are preaching an opposite gospel to what Jesus says, but he's the standard. We have to fight for the standard because our only hope for marriage is going to be God, not our own ideas and concepts of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, these people walked into the Family Research Council and with a gun, and you could say this, you could say, well, these are all men, and men are doing this, and men are doing that. But let me tell you something, that this is, he says, the Lord is devising designing a storm that's already happening and it's beginning to happen and it's going to continue to increase, minimum force necessary, till we do what I'm just talking about. And I'm with you on this journey. It is not easy. It is not easy to look at people who you love dearly and say, listen, I've got to love God too. And if you put me in, back me in a corner, if you back me in a corner because Jesus told me if I don't love him, obey him over you, then I can't even enter into the kingdom of God. But you may find out if you're doing it with humility and you're doing it in love and you're willing to be as patient with them as you as God is with you, then over the long haul, you may see a turning around of your family. But either way, God's going to see you, you know, loving on him. You know, you could be a Josiah, you know.
All right.
And with that, then people will see your marriage. They will just see your marriage and they'll say, I want that. But right now, let me tell you what the world's saying. They don't want what the church is showing them in regards to marriage. And I got news for you. What the church is showing the world as marriage, I don't blame them a bit. Here we are, you know, talking to the world about the King we love, about our Lord and our Savior. And we're able to tell them how much he loves them and thinks about them and how urgently or anxiously he awaits the moment that you recognize that he's always been around you, waiting for you to reach out for him. I mean, he's been like, you know, here's some air, you know, here's some blood flow, you know, here's some vocal cords, you know, here's a heart, here's some food, here's a place to live, here's a nation, will you reach out to me? I'm not far from you. I did all this to see if you would actually acknowledge me. Acts 17, isn't it? It's like, oh my goodness. Were you going to notice me today? Is it me that gave you your paycheck or did you get that paycheck?
Right.
Is it me that is holding up your economy or is it you holding up your economy? Mm-hmm. Are you turning to me? It's me. Do you notice it? Do you recognize me? It's me. God loves you. Oh my goodness. You might be wanting right now to meet him. You just got to meet him. He's so good. He's there all along. He's been there all along. He's just been watching you and singing over you, by the way, and just waiting for the day. That's why life seems so many mercies are in life, because he's given us just a little bit more life.
I know.
Hoping that maybe they'll turn. If you want to meet him, you just got to meet my Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you can do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a few of our stories, how we met him. And maybe that'll encourage you to see how you too, right now, can make that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Go to meetmyfather.org. You know, I think about, you know, what we were talking about just a moment ago about minimum force necessary and what's taking place. I think about, you know, Edmund Burke's quote, and I'm trying to grab, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King's quote of it as well. And I believe, I don't know who pulled from who, but he says, all that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
Wow.
And I remember Dr. King also used these words. All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. The question is what do good men do? And is it good men that understand the only good in them is God in regard to the church? You know, and there are good Americans that don't know Jesus, but in regard to the church, and that's what we're always talking about on BFN Radio, is to the church, to those that have gone astray and those that are being led to God. That's who this is for. And so for us is that we can't sit passively by and do nothing while evil prevails. Now, the question is, what do we do? And do we get out and start trying to make things happen, or do we fall to our knees first? And good, this is what a believer should do. We should fall to our knees in brokenness and repentance, understanding the condition of our society today is because we have sinned. They were already sinned. We're all born into sin. It's not like they sinned. They were already, you know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. It's not that we get condemned if we don't receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were already condemned already in our sin. We become not condemned when we choose Jesus Christ, who became condemned for us. And so the condition of our land is because the church has sinned. And which means that it can change if we, as men and women of God, to be able to fall to our knees and said, you know, I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be, and I found out that America's issue was me. It was the church, you know. And but with that, it comes repentance.
Right.
You think about it. It becomes repentance. Repentance. So what do you do? I mean, what is the thing? And this has been my question. You know, what do we do? Because you know, you can say, oh, this is it, and this is we. You know, the first thing is just begin to pray. You get with like-minded people who love God, who are not switching the word of God for any philosophies. Right now, let me tell you something. You know, people are talking about hanging on to the Constitution. You better hang on to the word of God.
Right.
Because it's changing so fast and morphing so quickly, and things are happening, and all those conversations that began in the garden that said, you know, did God really say, is all over the land right now, and people are buying into it. But you just think about David. You know, David was not a perfect man. He was a man after God's own heart. He was just going one day. His dad told him, said, listen, take some cheese and some bread to your brothers.
Right.
That's it. You know, and he's just, it's just by happenstance. So it's not, people go, well, you know, I haven't seen an eclipse yet and the earth hadn't shaken 2 foot to the right. So I don't know if God wants me to do something about this. He was carrying cheese and crackers to his brothers. I mean, he was carrying some food to his brothers who were at war. Their strategy was
hide,
hunker down, hide. And so when he gets there, he sees his brothers who he loves and God loves hiding behind brick and mortar. I mean, hiding behind, behind.
That's good,
John. That was terrible. Hiding behind rocks. They were hiding behind rocks.
Right.
And he looks at his brothers behind the rocks. He looks at the whole nation under great horrific bondage. He looks back at his brothers and all the nation behind the rocks. You know, I mean, the rock could be sheetrock. It could be stucco. It could be bricks and mortars. It could be wood. But it's something preventing you from seeing the giants that are in the land. And so he looks at, because he can obviously standing in a position that he can see both the people that God loves, the armies of God, and he can also see this giant who's, you know, Goliath. He's like, you know, send me out somebody. I'm gonna kill him. You know. It's like, everyone like, you want to go? No, I don't want to go. I don't know. and he just all of a sudden says this, and I really believe this is our response. This is what we have to say and realize it very well could cost you your life, but what a sacrifice. What he said. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now listen, understand the predicament here. He's looking at the people who are God's. They are God's people. So they're not God's people, even though they're in bondage.
Right.
But they're in bondage. They're hiding. They're in fear. And he says, this is not right. They should be free. And then he looks back over at what's attacking them. And he says, who? I don't understand this. I'm trying to get this. Now, the creator of the universe is on your side.
That's right.
You know, the one that parted the Red Sea, the one that fed you manna, the one that your sandals didn't run out for 4 years, that brought you in the promised land flowing with milk and honey, the God that is always with you, the pillar of fire, the pillar of... I'm trying to get this right. Something's not right here, because who is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against you guys? Because you... Come on. Is there not a cause? And that's our response.
Right.
Did David, you know... As a matter of fact, the very people that were hiding behind who are God's people, they're not God's people. And God loves all mankind. And we can be in bondage, you know, and be God's people. But, you know, he says, you know, and then he over here, he says, hey, whoever can take this down gets no taxes. Well, you can really relate to that today.
Yeah, right.
And he goes, let me get this straight. If we knock this puppy down here, then me and my family... You hear his family like, go, firecracker, firecracker, go, David, go, David. No more taxes,
go,
right?
David, that's go, what, David.
Yes. Go, David, go. Of course, now the ones that were cowarding behind the rocks, and you got to get ready for this, because you stand up and say, is there not a cause? It's like this big bright light shines on the guy squatting behind the rock. And no matter how pretty his robe is, it's like, dude, you got wrinkles in it. You're squatting down behind a rock. Why, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. We got to do something about this. Is there not a cause? God's people should not be in this. What happened to us? What happened to us? Have we got so comfortable? We're making $360 per $48 in the world. We've gotten too rich. We're, you know, we think about it. Anyway, listen. And so he's trying to figure this out. He's trying to figure out what's is there not a cause? And immediately the people that are hiding behind the rock, they come out to him and say, listen. And the one that was trying to hire somebody to kill this dude, Saul, he goes, listen, you're going to need to put all this equipment on to go fight this dude. It's like, he tries to put it on. He's like, that stucco just don't fit right. It's like, I need some stuff around me. You know what I'm saying? This whole tradition thing the way that you fight battles just don't work. I got to fight the battle with the very thing that I've seen God use.
That's right.
You know, what is that? I got five smooth stones and a slingshot. And of course, Saul is so desperate, you know, and everybody's so desperate. Well, let's give him a shot.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he'll get lucky, right?
Right.
And so he takes off all their tradition. He says, listen, it wasn't working for you. Why are you trying to put on me?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to put on me what ain't working for you?
Wow.
If it ain't working for you, Saul.
Wow.
And you say, I got to use this to do that. Let me just use what God has shown himself with, whatever that is. And this is with you. God has shown himself mighty with you. He's done things with you that you know that is your five stones and your slingshot. Mm-hmm. And just go out against and pray and seek God. Get rightly related. Don't be alone. I encourage you, don't be alone. But you can be alone if you are in a place where they're hiding. You know what I'm saying? But just stand up and do what's right. And what he did was, he just said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to come against the armies of God? And so he goes out. He runs out. John, listen to this, man. He didn't just go out and covertly, you know, he runs.
Right.
Because he's shocked. He's just, you know what I'm saying, that, no.
Mm-hmm.
He's shocked. And he runs out to this giant with his slingshot and his five rocks. Think about it. You know, everybody's peeking. You see the little eyeballs peeking out over the rocks. They're going like, what's going to happen? He's dead. Oh, he is not going to make it.
He is so dead.
He's so dead.
You can do it.
They're already thinking about their next book to write, How David Died, you know.
I know.
And I told him he was wrong.
Yeah.
And he goes out there. He swings that slingshot around, which is like a rope slot, and he just lets go of it. And God takes that one smooth stone, the first of five, and drives it right in the head of that giant.
Right.
And he falls down and dies while the entire crew of God's people is hiding behind buildings. While the nation's falling and we're in sin, we won't even entertain the probability that God can empower us to defeat this if we'll just let go of our false gods, our idols, our sin, and quit trying to tell the world to get right so we have a better life. Why don't we get right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So God's name will be glorified. Listen, there is a cause. That's how we respond. Listen, God is looking for a man to rebuild the walls and stand before him in the gap so that he would not have to destroy America. But who has he found? Hmm. Has he found you? Has he found you? I'll just leave a blank there, and I'm going to close with this. Ezekiel 22:30 says, God is looking. Listen, in the midst of all this, he's looking for a David. In the midst of all this, he's looking for a Josiah.
Mm-hmm.
God is looking for a man to rebuild the walls, his walls, not traditional walls, to rebuild the walls and stand before God in the gap between those who are doing wrong and those that are trying to attack God's people so that he would not have to destroy America. But he has found that's right. Silence. Has he found you? Are you ready? Maybe Gideon's army's for you. maybe Gideon's army. Just a few people will be in agreement. If one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000, three could put 100,000. Listen, if David and his five stones could do something, we just got to find somebody who believes God, who stands up. Listen, this is not about America. This is about God. God gave us this nation. Listen, we've got to rise to this occasion. It's time for us to stand up and fight the way God said fight. Not physically fight. Fight in the way, the good fight of faith that he's called us to. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.